Shalom Aleichem, everybody. It's good that we have names, otherwise you guys would miss the whole shiur. From now on, I just have to tell everyone, I know it doesn't sound that it's really going to happen, but I will be in Mitzvah Shem 10 o'clock. I really need to start on time, because it's really, a lot of people are complaining it's very late. And it is very late. We don't get finished davening until after 12. So, let's start the shiur at 10 o'clock, okay? If I'm late, more than 2 weeks in a row, then you can complain. But I'm Mitzvah Shem, I don't intend to. I'm doing tshuva, it's Elul. I do tshuva in Elul, right? That's what Elul is here for. All right. Where's that tape going? Be careful with this shiur. Okay. Okay, this week's parasha. First of all, HiTorahAnytime.com. I just want you to know that this shiur is not on Kol HaLashon. So if there was no TorahAnytime.com, there'd be no remembrance of this shiur except this tape, which I'd have no idea where that's going. But what? All right, that might self-destruct. So Baruch Hashem, Torah Anytime is here tonight and covering this shiur. Whoever can help support them, they need your support. They're getting bigger, bigger, greater, greater. I have a letter from a minister in Florida. Sent me a whole letter how he's been listening to my shiur. And yeah, he's into my shiur. I have no idea. He's probably listening right now. Hi. And it's mamish changing. It's changing his life, his daughter's life, and his wife's life. And they all want to become gerim. So, of course, we don't want gerim. But his statement to us was, I can't live a lie. So we can't tell somebody to live a lie. So if he becomes a gerim, it's a shame. I'm sure he'll come up here and give a shiur. It'll probably be very interesting. All right. This week's parasha, which coincides with the month of Elul, is the parasha of Yifas Toya. Now, Yifas Toya is a very hard parasha to understand. It's about a man who goes to war, and he sees a very beautiful girl, not Jewish, and he wants to marry her. And I'm not going to get into the whole Yifas Toya, because you might get the wrong ideas. You have to be very careful how you teach Yifas Toya. But it's a very hard thing to understand, because the people that went to war in the times of the Torah, that if you spoke between your tulin shel yad, the tulin that you put on your hand and the tulin that you put on your head, if you talked out, you wouldn't be able to go. You wouldn't be able to be in the Israeli army. That's how big they had to be tzaddikim. That if they talked between tulin shel rosh and tulin shel yad, they couldn't go to war. So a guy like that is going to want to marry a non-Jewish woman? What's going on over here? Well, in the heat of war, when your adrenaline is pumping and you're fighting, so you don't really have yeshiva das, you can't really think about things. So the Torah knew that it could be that this guy's in war and he's going to see this girl and he's going to do an aveira. So the Torah allowed it, because once it's allowed, you don't want to do it. The Torah is much weaker. We all want to do things that are not allowed. Things that are allowed, we're not interested in doing. That's why Erev Yom Kippur, when it's a mitzvah to eat, you're not hungry. It's always the same thing. When you have to fast, you know, a person who doesn't eat in the morning breakfast, all of a sudden he needs to eat breakfast. So the things that you're not allowed to do is where you ate, so it works. So the Torah came, and when in this case, the Torah came and said you're allowed, and therefore it weakens the Torah. So he says, so then why didn't the Torah tell us you're allowed to eat chazer? So then I won't want to eat chazer, right? So it's a different shear, and it's a very, it's not for tonight. Anyway, that's not where I'm going tonight. So, let's look at the psukim in Kisetze. It's a very interesting parasha. It says the following: Kisetze l'mochama l'avyecha, if you go to war against your enemies, u'nasanei Hashem alekecha b'yadecha. Number one, you have to know that if you win or if you lose, war is in God's hands. So the Torah is telling you it's not your Israeli army and your F-15s and your American Tiger tanks and the great Israeli army, as we saw what happened to them last 2 years ago in Lebanon. Didn't work out so well. So the Torah is telling you that Kisetze l'mochama, when you go out to war with your enemy, if you're going to win, it's because u'nasanei Hashem alekecha b'yadecha, that Hashem will help you and will give them into your hands, v'shivisa shivya, and you will capture the enemy. Okay. Says the pasuk, v'ra'isa b'shivya, and now you capture the enemy, and part of the capturing the enemy is the women and the children. Marisa Beshivya, and you'll see in these captives, Eishes Yifas Toya, very beautiful woman. Vichashaktaba, and you will desire her, right? You want to be with her. Vilakachta L'chalisha, and you want to take her for a wife. Here you have all these nice Beis Yaakov girls that you could go out with, and you want to go out with this shiksa that you captured, you know? So what do we do? What do we do with this guy? So, ve'hevesel toich beisecha. Bring her home. V'gilchas roisha. Shave off her hair. V'asasa tziparneha. Let her nails grow long. V'hesira is simla shiv yameleha. Remove. They used to go out. Okay, what's going on with these girls? What's up with these girls? So, and when they went to war, what the Goyim would do is they would send out these very pretty women, dressed very provocatively, and the men would be staring at them and then taking an arrow right through the heart. Because instead of fighting, they would say, "Whoa, look at her," and then boom, he's dead. So that was their strategy. Yeah, that was their strategy, was to send out beautiful women, and the Jews would be looking at the women, and they wouldn't be concentrating on the war. So they put on this very provocative clothing, right? So the first thing you have to do is when she gets to your house, that has to be removed, and she's got to put on a house coat. Or, you know, something very plain, bland, nothing provocative at all. B'yashra, b'beisecha, and now she has to dwell in your house. You still didn't marry her. This is all before you marry her. B'yashra, b'beisecha, she has to live in your house. Uvachsa, saviyah, v'esima, yerech yamim. And she's going to sit there and cry because you killed her father and her mother. You killed them in the war, and now she's sitting in your house, and you want to marry her. She's not a happy camper. So she has to be there for 30 days, and she's crying, right? And after all that, if you still like her, then you could marry her, and she can become your wife. Now, this is very interesting, because you would think, number one, that if a person that today, women spend a lot of money on manicures, on having long nails, fake nails, but all nails. The Torah tells you that is disgusting, says Rashi, because we're trying to make her as disgusting as we can towards so that why are you giving up marrying a Jewish woman to marry this thing? Because this woman is very beautiful on the outside, chitzainius, and therefore the Torah feels that any Jewish man. If and this is my shir tonight, that's why I'm not on Kol Lashon, as you can tell already where we're going here. Not that there's anything wrong with you guys, but this, you know, Torah anytime is Rabbi Wallstein uncensored. So growing of the nails is a disgusting thing, says Rashi. So what are we doing here? We're taking all her beauty away. And the Torah feels that if you take all the physical beauty away from a non-Jew, there's nothing inside. There is nothing inside. What are you going after? And that this guy's going to say, what am I doing? Look, she's bald, she's got long nails, her eyes are all red, she's dressed, you know, not nice. What am I attracted to over here? Let me go marry a Jewish girl who is not important what she looks like on the chitzonius, it's important what's going on inside. The beauty of a Jewish girl is not what's going on outside, but what's going on inside. Sheker ha'chein v'helva yaifi. Right, we say in Eshes Chayil, the beauty is not important. Isha Yiras Hashem Hitzasalo, that she has the fear of God, and her midos, that's what we're going to praise her about, not her beauty. So the Torah over here is figuring that this guy who's going after this non-Jew is going after her because she's very beautiful. Remove the beauty, and you'll see already where she's at. Okay, so if you want to marry, you can marry her. But what happens if after all this, you take one look at her and you say, what am I, nuts? What am I going to do with her? She doesn't know how to cook cholent. She definitely doesn't know how to make a lachmajin and kugel, right? She doesn't know the first thing about heimische cooking, right? She doesn't know anything about davening. My kids are going to come home from school. She can't learn with them the Aleph Beis. What am I, crazy? What am I getting involved with the shiksa for? I'm sugar, right? She's not Jewish. Not yet.
And the kids?
She'll become Jewish after he marries her. But right now, she's a goy. So now, look what you did to her. Now, let's say the guy says, am I crazy? I don't want this girl. My name's Kathy. What am I going to do with Kathy, right? You have to send her out. You can't sell her as a slave. You can't enslave her because of what you put her through. And then the Torah goes into another story. So far the Torah tells one story. This guy met this beautiful girl. and he wanted to marry her, and she wasn't Jewish, and he did all these things, and now he doesn't want to marry anymore. Now the Torah goes into the next subject, which is very connected to this subject. Kisiel ish tei nashim. If a man had two wives, ha'achas ahuva, one he loved, va'achas snua, one he hated. V'yodo lo banim, ahuva v'asnua. And both the one he loved and the one he hates gave birth. They both had boys. V'yad ben abachal asnia. And the firstborn, right, the firstborn for him came from the one he hated. Now, so now he writes a will. And in the will he writes, now we know that law is that a Bechor, the oldest born of the man, gets double. He doesn't want to give the boy from the wife he hates double. He wants to give it to the boy that he loved, from the wife he loves. But that boy was born the second one. So the Torah tells us, he's not allowed to make the son who of the wife he loves the Bechor over the Bechor of the one he hates, because really that child was born first. What? Yeah, I'm going to get into the Vilna in a minute. So you have to give the Bechor from the one he hates first, because he is his initial child, like Mishpat HaBachar, and therefore he gets the Mishpat HaBachar. So the Vilna Gaon asked the following question. The Vilna Gaon says, I don't understand. The Torah is flipping the story here. It says, Ha'achas Ahuva. The first one he married was the one he loved. V'ha'achas Asnua. The second one he married is the one he hates. Then it says, right, when he writes the will, lo yuchal levaker es ben ahuva play ben asnua bechor. He's not allowed to make the one he loves the bechor over the one he doesn't love. But you just said that the first one, ha'achas, was ahuva. So the first child was the one he loved. So what's this whole story over here? The first child, the Torah is saying, when it tells you the story, but yolda loy banim ha'uva v'hasnua. First the one he loved, then the one he hated. So then the Torah tells you, the one he hated, you can't make the Bechor. What do you mean? The one he hated is not the Bechor. So he answers, very interesting, and only Vilna Gaon says this. He says the story here was like this. They both got pregnant at the same time. The one he hated gave birth, the one he hated gave birth in the seventh month. The one he loved, no, the other way around. The one he loved gave birth in the seventh month. The one he hated gave birth in the ninth month. The conception of the child was first the one he hated. The birth of the child was first the one he loved. So the Vilna Gaon says that the Torah tells you that you don't go by the one that was born first. You go by the one that was conceived first. And therefore, again, just follow me because I lost a couple of you guys. Let's start again. The question was that the Torah says a person had two wives, one he loved, one he hated, and the one he loved came first, had the child first, and then the Torah says, make sure you don't give double to him. Give double to the one you hate. What do you mean? He's the Bechor. So he says, no, he's not the Bechor, because even though the one he loved was born first, right, the one he hated was conceived first. And the Vilna Gaon says, you go by the child that's conceived. How do you know? Because it says in the Pasuk, ki hu rachis, oh no. It doesn't say ki hu rachis, the one that was born first. It says he is the initial one that came from him was the conception. So he argues with everyone else, and he says, la halacha, the Bechor goes by the one that's conceived first, not the one that's born first. So a man who has two wives, right? And a child is conceived first, and the other child is conceived second, but the second child that was conceived is born a little earlier than the first, he is the Bechor. The one that's conceived first is the Bechor. What? We don't go halacha like that. We don't go halacha like that. We go by who was born first. Like Esav was the Bechor. Yaakov was conceived first.
So was he fighting for a prince?
So while,
He wanted to get out first. Because we go lahalacha, who comes out first? The baby underneath, the baby underneath is the one that's conceived first.
So why would we
have to buy the bet? According to
what?
The Vilna-Goyim.
No, it's not. We don't pass like this. The Vilna-Goyim just. We don't pass like Vilna-Goyim.
I'm just saying, according to.
It's not. We don't pass like him. You're right. So why'd he fight? Because that way he came out first, then he was conceived first. So there's no. The Choladeus is no. But we don't pass him like that. Anyway. So. And then the Torah goes into an a ben sarimara chas v'sholom, a child that goes against his parents. He has to eat a lot, and he drinks a lot of wine, and they chas v'sholom have to kill him. Now, why are they all connected? So we know they're connected because if the reason he's marrying a woman is she's a goy, and the reason he's marrying her only because of lust, only because of the physical reason. What's going to happen in the end? He's going to hate her. He's going to love his wife, who makes the children much more. She's bechaint. She's sweet. He's going to love her much more than the guy. And therefore, he's going to have a problem with a ben snua, with a snua, and a one he loves and one he hates. What's going to come out of that? If he hates one wife and he loves one wife, the child of the one that he hates is going to end up becoming a ben sarah meira. So it's all connected to a ben sarah meira is a child who goes against his parents. He eats a lot of meat and he drinks a lot of wine. And therefore, the Torah gives us a mitzvah that the people and the parents have to stone him till he's dead. Because in the end he will become a murderer, and this is the only time in the Torah that we do something to someone before he actually does the action. Only by Ben Sarimar, and the Gemara says there was never ever a Ben Sarimar. It's a concept.
So it depends how he raises him. Depends how the father raises the child.
Right, but if he hates his mother, if the husband's going to hate his mother, the child in the end will hate his father.
Right.
Yep. That's the way it works. If a father hates a mother and the child he's going to be close to the mother, he's going to hate his father for hating his mother. Especially if there's two mothers, if he has two wives, and his mother is the wife that the father doesn't like. But the basis of it is not that. The basis of it is that he took a woman for the way he looks. Now, there is an arachai. That's I'm just teaching you chumash right now. Now we're going to go into my subject matter. Is that this whole story here has nothing to do with what it looks like? This whole story that I just told you, Ben Sarimaira, Echad Snua, Echad Ahuva, is really not talking about going to war and a woman and all this stuff. But it's talking about a person's life and his fight with the Yetzirah and the having a Yetzirah. And he says the following. When you go to fight your enemy, who's a person's biggest enemy in the world? The Yetzirah. You can't fight the Yetzirah alone. He's a malach, you're a human. The only way you can beat your Yetzirah is if Hashem gives you biyodecha in his hands, v'shevisa yishivya, and you capture him. Now, if you look at the word unisano, it is, I forgot the word in English, when the word goes backwards and forwards.
Palindrome.
Spell it.
Palindrome.
Spell it for us, please.
Palindrome.
Okay. Palindrome. Which is a word that goes backwards and forwards, like SOS, right? Backwards and forwards. Or what? Mom. Or mom. Mom. Dad. Right? What?
Race car.
Race car, right. That's the cool one. Race car. Backwards and forwards spells race car. Ah, it's very cool. Anyway, so the word unisano, also vav nun, tough, nun vav, goes backwards and forwards and spells unisano any which way you look at it. On one side of the word unisano, it says avyecha, chas v'shalom. On that one side is the Yetzihara. The biggest enemy is the Yetzihara. On the other side of the word unisano is yudke vavke, is Hashem. So the only way that a person has the koyach to fight his Yetzihara, that he should be given to him, is if a person damas to Hashem. Not only making gedara, making fences, to keep you away from doing bad things like getting rid of your computer and not using it, right? Not only is that a way of keeping you out of trouble, right? But you also need to daven every morning that I need you to help me, Hashem. Okay. Another story, terrible story, came across this week about a guy that, because of his computer, ended up, whatever, I don't want to get into it, but very, very bad. So, unless you really know, you know that you can really control yourself, which nobody knows, you have to be very, very careful. I got a beautiful email this week I should have brought with me about a girl who went off the internet. It would be, you would like this, because she writes about Torah anytime. And she said that she listened to me, she got off the internet, and that if she could only get up and explain it to the other girls, she freed herself like 6 hours a day. She said, I got my life back. The only thing I don't know what to do is I don't know how to get your shirim anymore on Torah anytime because I'm not on the internet. She wrote that. She said, so I want to make a library of your shiurim that people could mail in. They'll get, you know, they'll give a $5 deposit and we'll keep mailing them, you know, back and forth the discs. It was her idea, but she's off the internet. So if you can't get off the internet, get kosher internet, whatever you got to do. But besides that, you still can fall, and therefore we have to daven in our tefillah, and that Hashem has to help us, because without Him, we cannot capture the Yetzirah. So we go out in life, and we're in this war, and we're in Brooklyn, and we're in America, and we're in this world, and we see in this captivity that we're in, the neshama nevach is a captive in the guf, in the body, and we see eishes yifas toya. There's a lot of beautiful women out there. Doesn't only mean women. It means things that are aveiros. Doesn't only mean women, but you know, beautiful things. Beautiful women and beautiful things and beautiful movies and all the other stuff that we run after. V'chashakdaba. And we want it. Rabbi, I understand whatever you're saying, but you know, I'm a guy, you know, come on. I'm normal. V'chashakdaba, he wants it. V'lekach l'chol yisha. And he wants to get married to it. He wants it to be part of his life. So this might sound weird, right? So bring it into your house. No, don't bring it into your house. But what he's saying here is, strip the avera of what the avera really is. Look into it and see what this moment of lust is, how long it's going to last. This avera that you're going to do, Rabbi Gamliel always says it to me. My Rebbe always says it to me. You know, he says, guys get themselves into trouble with girls. They do all kinds of averas. It's a moment in time. And the moment's over. What do you have? You have nothing. There's nothing. He says, just the opposite. The more that a person does that avera, the more he needs to do that avera. It doesn't satisfy him. He needs more and more and more. So the moment causes another moment. He says, so if you actually look at the aveira that a person does and you strip it, you cut its hair off, you let its nails grow, you look at the aveira and you see, is there beauty in this sin? Is there true beauty in this? You'll see the whole thing is smoke. The whole thing's a bluff. The whole thing is smoke. You have nothing from it. It's like a movie. You turn the lights on, movie's over. A movie's only good in the dark. In the light, you don't see the movie. You turn the lights on in a movie theater, everyone starts screaming. Ah, you ruined the movie! You put the lights on! Yeah, the Yetzirah is only good in the dark. When it's in the dark, oh my goodness, 3D, you can even get special glasses, it's mamish in front of you, it's dancing in front of you, you know, you got 3D, whatever it is, turn on the lights, the 3D's over, the whole thing's over. So what the Torah is telling you, when you go out to war against the Yetzirah, when you go out against an Avera, strip it of its outside beauty, and look and see if there really any beauty here, and you'll realize that the whole thing's a bluff. The whole thing is nothing. Okay, and he said, "Lechafatzba." In the end, you won't want it. All right. So that's the subject matter that I really want to talk about tonight. There's a story that I said a very long time ago. I don't know how many guys heard it. This is the reason we're not on Kol HaLashon tonight. Because I want to say this story. It's an amazing story I said many years ago. And this is really a story of this week's Pasha, Pasha's Kisetze, what it's talking about. And the story is the following. I said this a few years ago. I know there were guys on their phone saying, hey, you got to
Tomorrow, tonight, I'm going to spend time to relax. Okay. I'm going to go back. Thank you. I'm Thank you. Thank you.